This is Adam Siegelheim, a member of Stark & Stark's Corporate and Franchise Group, with the New Jersey Legal Update for the week ending September 2nd, 2005. In this week's podcast, we'll be discussing expanding your business through franchising. In New Jersey alone, close to 20,000 franchise establishments contributing to over $40 million to New Jersey's economy. Without question, there's a growing trend of businesses' expansion through franchising. The reason is simple. Franchising affords you the opportunity to expand your business without having to incur significant costs such as construction, inventory, and all the overhead that goes with operating additional businesses. By franchising, you pass on all those costs to the franchisees, and in exchange for letting them use your business name and formula, you receive royalties in return. To begin with, before you can franchise, you need to know what a franchise is. Well, in New Jersey, the technical definition is a written arrangement for a definite or indefinite period in which a person grants to another person a license to use a trade name, trademark, service mark, or other related characteristic in which there is a community of interest in the marketing of goods or services at wholesale, retail, by lease agreement, or otherwise. In plainer terms, or in English, a franchise is simply a license to use not only a business's trade name, but also to use their business formula. Legally, what separates a franchise from merely licensing a concept is the quote-unquote community of interest requirement. New Jersey courts have found that a quote-unquote community of interest exists in instances where a franchisee is required to make a substantial investment in goods or skills that will be of virtually no use outside of the franchise. For example, let's say you have a hardware store that is able to sell a certain line of power drills. In the event that that agreement was revoked, the hardware store would still be able to continue forward, and it would probably be a licensing agreement. In contrast, let's say a hardware store opened up that sold exclusively one company's or one manufacturer's tools and other accessories. In the event that that company revoked that agreement, the hardware store would have no use, would most likely have to go out of business, and that would probably be considered a franchise because there would be considered a community of interest. As a result of the substantial investment that often accompanies owning a franchise, the Federal Trade Commission has certain requirements that must be met before you can sell a franchise. Chiefly, the Federal Trade Commission requires you to make various disclosures to any prospective franchisees at the first face-to-face meeting with them. These disclosures are commonly referred to as a Uniform Franchise Offering Circular, or UFOC. UFOC contains various information, including pertinent information about the franchisor. How long has the franchisor been in business? Does it operate any other companies? Who does the business compete with? Are there any government regulations? The UFOC also contains the franchise's business experience. Who are the officers? How long have they been in the business for? Did they have any prior experience prior to starting this franchise? Have any of the officers or the franchise ever filed for bankruptcy? If so, what is the status? Has the franchisor been involved in any litigation? The UFOC also discloses the initial investment and fees that a franchisee would be expected to pay. This includes everything from the amount of the initial franchise fee to any royalties, any advertising fees, and any other ongoing training fees. The franchisor must also set forth what the estimated initial investment will be to start operations. In addition to the fees paid to the franchisor must also set forth an estimated amounts for rent, architecture fees, construction, opening inventory, supplies, advertising, and various other items such as insurance and other costs associated with the operation of the franchise. UFOC also sets forth what the franchisee and franchisor are responsible for. On the franchisee side, in addition to fees it must pay, it also sets forth various items, including compliance with operating procedures, pre-opening requirements, opening requirements, and restrictions on products and services offered. The franchisor is required to disclose their obligations. What type of initial training will they provide? Is it only for the owner, or is it also for their managers? What type of assistance will they provide in helping a franchisee find a location? Once the business is operating, what type of ongoing support will the franchisor provide the franchisee? The UFOC also must provide a breakdown of the number of franchisees in existence, as well as what states they're in. In addition, the franchisor is required to disclose to a franchisee or prospective franchisee the number of franchisees that have recently canceled or have been terminated by the franchisor. The UFOC must also contain various exhibits, including an audited financial statements and a copy of the franchise agreement and any other agreements that a prospective franchisee would be required to sign before beginning operations. In addition to FTC regulations, other states have enacted registration laws setting forth additional requirements that must be met before a franchisor can sell a franchise in a certain state. Presently, there are 13 registration states. They include California, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, New York, North Dakota, Oregon, Rhode Island, South Dakota, Virginia, Washington, and Wisconsin. Notably, neither New Jersey or Pennsylvania is a registration state. Therefore, in order to sell franchises in those states, you would just need to comply with the federal requirements. Before selling a franchise in any state, it is imperative that you confirm that that state is not a registration state and does not have additional requirements that must be adhered to. In the event that you are planning on selling a franchise in a registration state, then you must submit a copy of the UFOC and all the exhibits to the state's examiners. Based on your financials, the state may or may not require you to place a bond in order to ensure your financial stability. In addition, the state examiner may require you to place additional disclosures in the UFOC that are only to be given to prospective franchisees of that state. Each registration state can come up with completely different requirements and disclosures that have to be made that may even contradict one another. Unfortunately, it's also common for a business to expand into franchising without following all the federal or state requirements. Oftentimes, business owners incorrectly assume that they're merely licensing their concept and they're not subject to franchise laws. However, if that turns out not to be the case, the franchisor may be subject to not only significant monetary penalties, in some states could be subject to criminal penalties. In addition, oftentimes the franchisor will be required to offer the franchisees the right to rescind any agreements they signed and return any money they received. Another common mistake is recognizing that you're a franchise, but not recognizing that you're selling in a registration state and only complying with the federal regulations. In the event that you're only complying with the federal regulations, you also could be subject to that state's penalties and, as I mentioned earlier, in some extreme cases, potential jail time. In addition to ensuring that you're in compliance with all the federal and state laws, it is also imperative that you obtain a signed receipt from a prospective franchisee indicating that they received the UFOC. This is your protection in case the prospective franchisee ever reports that they did not receive the disclosures in an effort to get out of their franchise agreement. In sum, franchising can be an inexpensive and efficient way to expand your business. However, if you fail to follow the proper legal requirements, it could result in severe penalties. Should you wish to learn more about franchising your business in New Jersey, please don't hesitate to contact me at 609-791-7003 or by email at asiegelheim@stark-stark.com. And please make sure to tune in next Friday for another edition of the New Jersey Legal Update by Stark & Stark. In the meantime, visit us on the website at stark-start.com or njlawblog.com, where you'll receive regular updates on important legal developments taking place in the Garden State.